For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get rolling on a Wednesday. Have we actually gotten to the middle of the week, Alex? Does this seem like the slowest week? We've had plenty going on.
The slowest week known to man.
Hey, but it's Wednesday, for God's sakes. It should be Friday, and I should be looking at a happy hour in Cherry Creek North, for God's sakes. Instead, I'm in with you two guys. Brett's over there, too. Eric's gone today. But we do have an Avalanche win to talk about, beating the Jets 5-2 last night to even up the series as we get going, courtesy of RollerAuctions.com. Check them out. Auctions each and every day at RollerAuctions.com. I'm going to cop a plea and ask for forgiveness from the listeners, because I was wrong and glad to be wrong. Have you ever been wrong and glad to be wrong? Because I'm wrong a lot. I'm usually not glad to be wrong, but I was glad to be wrong about this last night. I swung and missed on Alexander Georgiev last night, and I admit it. I thought that psychologically he was damaged goods. I thought that he had a team behind him that probably didn't have his back. I thought that this team was in trouble going into game two, especially when yesterday afternoon or yesterday morning after the skate around, that it appeared that, well, not appeared, that Annunen was not going to be able to play, continued illness. And what is this illness now? We are now far enough along in this illness. It's not a few sniffles and a little cold. He's not suffering allergies, right? He's got something that is obviously going to take him a few days to get over. So Georgiev gets the start by default. Now, maybe, who knows? Maybe the plan all along was Jared Bednar was going to go with Alexander Georgiev. He knew something that the rest of us didn't know just by watching from the outside looking in. Georgiev wasn't great by any stretch last night, but he was good. Didn't face that many shots. Guys were tighter on the blue line in front of him. It was a much better team defensive effort. But Alex, how funny is it? And funny, I mean ironic. It shouldn't be much of a surprise. When you play good defense in front of a goaltender, you have an exponentially better chance of being a better defensive team. And even though they got down early 1-0 in this game, the four straight goals in the second period really kind of set the wave for the rest of the game, and they ended up winning. It was a 4-2 game that they scored on an empty net from Natushkin late. This was a huge win, because as bad as the first loss was, and you can say, hey, it was a 7-6 game. You can say that. But I think all of us felt worse about that game because of the inability to stop the puck from going into the net. This is a game changer, because ultimately you get out of Winnipeg with what you really went there for in the first place. A win in the first two games. This changes the complexion of this series in remarkably so.
I'm glad Bednar had the stones to stick with Georgie.
Wait a minute. Really? Because did you sit there yesterday while Eric and I were pontificating about the Avs and say, You got to go with Georgie again.
No, no, that never crossed my mind. But he knows the team better than all of us.
Isn't that the truth?
And you know, for him to stick with him like that, it's the guy who got you here. 38 wins this season, and he showed up big. He showed up big. After that first goal went in, I was a little bit like, here we go again. But I thought the defense in front of him, like you said, Josh Manson, some of these other defensemen, blocking all those shots, plugging the middle and sacrificing their body, that was huge.
We talked about Josh Manson yesterday because he's a guy that was kind of egregious in the way he played in game one. With the weak centering in front of the goal from the corner, which was inexplicable. He should have gotten an assist on that goal for Winnipeg. And then an inability to stay with the guy that was his guy and ended up being a soft goal later. He talked about it, and he was accountable to himself. And I appreciated that about Josh Manson. I appreciated the, hey, I got to get back to being who I am. I can't be this going forward kind of attacking defender from the blue line, which the Avs have so many of. And they were still very good in that last night. How many first line goals did they have last night? Val got an empty netter at the end. The rest were all second line and down, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
A couple third and fourth line goals.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a really good effort defensively. I thought that they were much, much more cognizant of their responsibilities defensively. I think they played defense first from the blue line and then attacked when opportunities were a little bit safer. That second period left no doubt who the better team was, at least last night. Now, look, I'm not voicing a flag up the pole and saying this thing is over, but you're coming back home now. I can't think of a series that I've watched lately whose complexion changed as dramatically as this one did last night. I wasn't ready to surrender to Winnipeg, but Winnipeg had kicked the Avs' backside pretty convincingly for three games in the regular season, right? And then went ballistic on them in game one. Georgiev was 1-6 in his last seven decisions and had given up 33 goals in those seven games. What in the wide world of sports made anyone think that this dude was going to rise up and shut this team down? Now, two goals and what, 25 or seven shots? But it was the number of shots that was really impressive. That's how good the Avs were defensively last night.
Yeah, 30 shots on Georgie.
I stand corrected. 30. But even that's a good number. How many did the Avs have against Winnipeg?
Avs put 31 shots on Hellebuck.
Okay, so actually it was a 50-50. But I felt like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Avs were the more aggressive team. They outshot them 2-1 virtually in game one, and I didn't feel that way necessarily. Turns out they shot about the same number of shots. Maybe they just had better efforts. Maybe they just had better shots. So now the question becomes, what does this do for the Avs coming home, where clearly they're one of the best teams in all the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, best home record in the league this year, highest scoring team in the league. You got to like coming home, splitting 1-1 with Winnipeg. And the amount of goals they've gotten past Connor Hellebuck is pretty astounding.
It is.
The number one goalie in the league this year? Yeah, 12 goals in two games, and now you're coming home to your home ice. I think that bodes well for the team.
Is he the top American keeper? I think he's from Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
He is
from Michigan, and I say this without knowing the answer, which is foolish, but I'm kind of thinking that he's probably the best of the American keepers, and the Avs have made him look very average the last two nights. Well, two of the last three nights. All right, so why was Georgiev so much better last night? When you have a seven-game sample size going in where he had stopped virtually nothing. He did give up only two goals and a win against Minnesota, but he had only had one win in his last seven decisions. He had bled goals. Bled them. Played well for two periods against Vegas and then gave up four in a row as quickly as you can snap your fingers. Ended up losing in overtime at the very end of the season. But what changed? I don't know what the answer is, other than this guy's mental capacity was a lot stronger than I thought. And this is where I come back to being wrong and being glad that I was wrong. Because the mental toughness that it takes when you're on the road, you know he was hearing it from every Canadian in that building about, you know, hey, gonna stop a shot tonight, eh? You know, and he had no recourse because he didn't stop anything the two nights before. So what changed? What changed that allowed him to bounce back with confidence? Is this another mirroring action? You know what? We've talked about this a lot. Nuggets, Avs. Their season appears to me to be like, we do this, then you guys do that, and it looks a lot the same. We win six straight, you guys win seven of eight. How about this one for you? Now, the Nuggets are up 2-0, but we go through the whole, Jamal Murray is 3 of 16 after three periods and is doubting himself in game two against the Lakers. And all he does is man up and go 6 for 8 and hits the game-winning shot because of the support of his team. What was Georgiev talking about last night afterwards?
His teammates rallying around him. How they've showed him so much support over the last couple days. And I thought, like, during some of the stoppages, he was kind of hunched over, like, talking to himself and doing his
he does that a lot,
his
doesn't
goalie,
he?
Like, intro sequences.
Right. He does that a lot, but the message was the exact same. It was like Georgiev from Russia and channeling his best Jamal Murray from Canada, you know, from across the miles. And it, again, isn't just a weird kind of story in the way that it plays out between the Avs and the Nuggets. Now, the Avs got one to get back in the series. But, I mean, think about how similar it was. My teammates picked me up. They had my back. Really? How much confidence? Jamal Murray's a different creature in this. I mean, this dude's got a track record. This guy goes and makes big shots. This guy makes volume shots. He's proven himself. Georgiev hasn't. He's not that kind of guy. Why would the Avs have confidence in Alexander Georgiev unless he was the only guy left that could do it? Are you telling me really in the heart of hearts that that locker room wasn't hoping like hell that Justin Annan wouldn't be ready to go last night? I find that that's remarkable to me.
I would be hoping for Annan if I was in that locker room. I mean, Georgie was struggling about as bad as you could struggle.
Bad.
I don't understand why you would have any confidence in him going forward. Hawk, but it's a weird game.
It is a weird game, and I'm not going to act like I understand the nuances of the foreign athlete in a game that I don't completely know. Hockey is a fascinating game to me because of the mental toughness, not to mention the physical toughness that you have to play that game at a high level, but the mental toughness too for a keeper who was just getting peppered, abused, was angry with himself. But there he goes. Now, all of a sudden, you're coming back to Denver, and it's a 1-1 series, which is all that you could ask for. It's all that you could ask for. And you're a badass at home, and now you're thinking, okay, we take the next two, and we just squeeze the life out of this Winnipeg team. I sat there last night thinking, what the hell am I watching here? I just couldn't fit. I wouldn't in a million years have guessed a 5-2 win or a 4-2, really a 4-2 game that ended up being 5-2. I would have never guessed it.
So Connor Hellebuck has let in more goals than Georgiev this series, 10-9.
That's
pretty remarkable.
Would you make all
the grief that Georgiev has got, I haven't heard a whole lot of anger towards Hellebuck from Winnipeg fans and any panic there.
Would you trade the two goalkeepers right now?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, come on, Brett. Would you trade those two goalkeepers right now if you had the choice between Hellebuck and Georgiev moving forward? Would you make a trade right now?
I like how Georgiev really stepped up last night.
Good for you guys. Good for sure. You guys.
Yeah.
Good for you. No turncoats.
He locked in.
How? What's your take? How did he lock in? I mean, where do you find the confidence when you have just really for 2 weeks been nothing but a sieve? Where does it come from? And think about the confidence you must have in yourself and your ability to get back to a good place positively, and then you give up an early goal, and the quality of that goal, I'll sit and debate. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. He's down early 1-0, but the fact that he got out of the first with only one goal, I think, probably gave him a lot of confidence. But seriously, when you're 1-6 in your last 7. You're playing with one of the best damn teams in the league, and you've given up 33 goals. He plays his butt off in a playoff game. Pretty good stuff. All right. When we continue, we'll move forward. We're going to get back to the Avs at the top of the second hour, and we may get into them more as we continue here. Eric is not with us today. He's got a little issue that he had to deal with this morning. He will be back tomorrow. When we continue, we will turn to the Broncos. NFL insider Albert Breer reporting the Broncos quietly have done a lot of work on this quarterback as we move closer towards the draft. And if you've been paying attention, at least to this show, it probably shouldn't surprise you. As we continue here on Morning Drive on a Wednesday, Goodman and Hurdle, we're back.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us as we roll along 7:22 in the morning on a Wednesday. Looks like it's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. Temperatures in the mid-70s. I've always felt like I missed my calling. I want my meteorological seal. I like weather. I think it was something that was passed down to me from my father, who always wanted to know about the weather. I never had a phone call with my father where he didn't ask how's your weather? And I find myself kind of like in a Geico commercial, being my father when I talk to my kids, three of whom live, two in Arizona and one out in California, always asking them every day as if this is really important or changes the function of what they're doing each and every day. How's your weather? It's a little pathetic on my part, but I am interested in the weather. So, and it looks like it's going to be really good today. RollerAuctions.com, check them out. Great things going on at Roller Auction. It's a sight for the eyes. New auctions rolling out each and every day. Check them out at RollerAuctions.com. Continuing on a Wednesday, Eric is out with a issue that he has to take care of this morning. No big deal. He'll be back tomorrow. We look forward to that. Alex and Brett in his stead. I am Bruce Hurdle. Good to have you with us. All right. The NFL draft is coming up tomorrow. Finally. Do you guys feel like I do that this is like it's the long crawl to get to the draft? Because you start talking about the draft. I mean, even before the owners meeting. So, I mean, for about a month and a half, those of us who are just dyed-in-the-wool NFLers are looking for some shred to hang on to. So, of course, it's all of the rumor-mongering and things that go on and the subterfuge that go on around the draft in what has been called and tagged by our friend Jeff Legwald from ESPN.com as the lying season in the NFL. You don't pay attention to what anyone says because if their lips are moving, they're probably not telling the truth as it relates to football. But here we are. We're ready to go tomorrow night. The Broncos will be on the clock for a first-round pick, their first in 3 years. Pat Surtain was the last first-round pick that the Denver Broncos made. How many first-rounders do the Broncos, by the way, have left on their roster? Pat Surtain.
Bowles.
And Bowles, right?
Yeah, I can't think of any others.
Right. Now, that's a problem, but hey.
Zach Wilson now?
Well, okay. But they didn't pick him. They didn't pick Zach Wilson. But really think about that. They haven't had a first rounder for 2 years. Okay. So, I mean, I get that. But they've got two first rounders that they have picked. Pat Surtain is the only first round pick that George Payton has had.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Dude's in his fourth draft. He has had one first round pick. I'm looking forward to it. Does the world stop when the NFL draft comes on?
I think so.
It does.
The playoff schedule's a little bit lighter tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. All eyes are on this first round.
Wait a minute. What are you guys going to be watching? Nuggets or the draft?
Oh, man. Nuggets.
You're going to try to watch both.
Yes.
But if you're zoning in, you know damn good and well around that 12th pick, you're watching what the Broncos are going to do.
100%.
Period. I've got two kids that are, both of my boys are monstrous football fans, but one of them is a huge NBA fan. Huge. Probably a bigger NBA fan than he is an NFL fan. But he admits that he'll be watching the NFL draft. And it will be very interesting come Friday when numbers come out about that first round draft television ratings, putting them up against the NBA. I mean, you got the Nuggets and the Lakers in Game 3, right?
Right, and then the Knicks Sixers
and
right
the Knicks
before
and
that,
Sixers
too.
Right before it. I mean, these are only the two best games that have been played in the playoffs to this point. I mean, no one would have wanted to have missed these last two games. You watch what the NFL draft does compared to the NBA playoffs.
Always, right? It's king.
It's the NFL. It's the NFL. All right. With that, let's get to this. NFL insider Albert Breer reporting the Broncos have quietly done a lot of deep dive on Oregon quarterback Bo Nix. They had an hour-long Zoom reportedly with him on March 7th, then sent Sean Payton-led contingent to Eugene to work him out on March 18. So the interest appears to be there. Now, look, they have had individuals with every one of these quarterbacks. So don't think that Bo Nix is anything different. We're just giving you what we have found out on the contact with Bo Nix. Is the fit good? Is the issue here going to be not having a second rounder? Could that possibly complicate it if indeed they're looking for a Bo Nix? How strong are the chances that the Broncos draft Nix? I don't think that they do it with the first pick. I don't think that they do it with the 12th pick in the first round. And this isn't a knock on Bo Nix. This is a question of need for the Denver Broncos, who we just got done talking about, have two first-rounders that they have picked. Two different administrations, but that's it. Two first-rounders that they have picked. You have got to start strengthening and deepening your roster. But in this case, you've got to get turnkey guys. You absolutely have got to get guys that you can turnkey and that can play. I, Alex, I feel like in this draft, your first two guys better be guys. And right now, it's a first and a third, two-thirds actually. But right now, you're looking at a first and a third. And this may be too much to ask for out of a third-round pick. But you better get a first-rounder that can help your football team immediately.
Immediately. Plug and play, right.
It's got to be a turnkey guy. You've just got to get some guys on this roster and on this depth chart that can play football and that can help you. Because we talked about this yesterday. You and I may not think that this is going to be a good football team, but I'll bet you Sean Payton thinks he's got a fighting chance. You know that guy thinks that he can go out and win an alley fight anytime that anyone calls. And that's what you want out of your guy. You want your guy to be this way. I totally get it. How realistic it is subject to interpretation. I guess we'll find out once the season gets here. But to do that, you've got to get something out of the 12th pick. So with that in mind, do you think that there is any chance at all that they move up in the draft?
Not anymore. I don't think so, especially after the trade 2 days ago for Wilson. I think there's a very slim chance that they'll move up and get in position to take one of those top guys.
I do, too. I do, too. And I don't know where they are with, first of all, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Those are just guys that I don't think that are going to be available when push comes to shove. I think those guys will go 1-2. Then you get into, I don't think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be this guy. I think Drake May may be the faller.
That's the way it's seeming, huh?
It feels like that right now. You know, we always have a guy, and it is most likely to be a quarterback this season because we have such a glut of him, such a glut of quarterbacks in that first to second round. Someone's falling.
Yeah, who's going to be this year's Will Levis?
Exactly. Who ended up, by the way, turning... How much would you like to have Will Levis right now?
He looked pretty good.
I thought Will Levis gave Tennessee more than enough to give you an idea of what they have. That guy's going to be okay. I like Will Levis a lot. And good for him. He stuck with it and took the heat early for being the guy that fell and this, that, and the other thing. But the laugh may be on the rest of the league. So, but we'll see. We get into it now, and all kinds of things can happen on draft night. But I've got a feeling that, and I think that we'll get a trade early on. I do. I think we'll get a trade in the first four picks. I think Minnesota's going to hedge their bets, and I think that they will trade with Arizona. The biggest question for me is what are the Patriots going to do at three? I think that there is enough question there to really pay attention. Because I don't know. I'm just not sure what they're going to do. And I'm not sure what the Broncos are going to do, except I would say now that I'm, like you, fairly convicted that they're not going to move up. What about moving down?
Yes. I think that's more likely than staying at 12, actually.
Okay. So there we are. And that's kind of been the consensus on this show for a while. There have been some consistencies here. Bo Nix, I think, was a very early favorite of this show. I think the early comment on Bo Nix was, he just feels like a Sean Payton guy.
Got a lot of Breeze qualities, huh?
Just feels like a Sean Payton guy.
Completion percentage.
Right.
What's the knock on him is the air yards. He had like the lowest air yards per attempt in FBS football, but that's because Oregon's offense is such a quick strike offense. So,
right. So there are throws at the NFL level consistently. We don't know whether he can consistently perform. But I'll tell you what we do know about this guy. He wins. He's a guy that his teammates love. He's a tough guy. And he's a competitor. And I think... He's a processor, has the feel and the look of a processor. I know Sean Payton is probably sitting there thinking, man, if one of these guys is available, we're going to move up. But I think when push comes to shove, it's not going to happen. I think they'll take the pick at 12, and if they've got someone they absolutely love at 12, then they'll draft him. If not, then I think that you swallow hard, you draft down a little bit, and maybe you pick up a quarterback. If you've got a fairly strong interest in him, not enough to draft him in the first and pick him up in the second. I think that seems to be a logical progression for the Broncos right now. But Sean Payton is the X factor. And the fact of the matter is, we don't know. Speaking of which, Sean Payton, did he make the grade in the eyes of an all-time Broncos great? That is, we continue here on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. You're listening to Mile High Sports.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Just meandering our way through a Wednesday. Good to have you with us on AM Drive on this Wednesday edition here, Mile High Sports. You can watch the show. Feel free at milehighsports.com. Alex Brett working with the show with me today. Eric is off. He will be back tomorrow. Don't forget, we are brought to you in large part by our friends from Roller Auctions, rollerauctions.com. Check them out. New auctions breaking each and every day. If you can imagine it, you can find it at rollerauctions.com. Hall of Fame running back Terrell Davis was asked to give Sean Payton a grade for this past season, an event he was at here recently. Didn't give a grade, demurred, but instead gave Payton some grace this season.
What they're doing is they're putting Sean on the past coach's time frame, right? And so as a fan, you see 6 years, 7 years of a team not being very good. And so the next guy comes in, it's you better fix this now. And so we don't give the coach the luxury of, let me build the team, let me build this roster, and the way that I see it. And it's, no, man, you better make moves now that impact us now. And that's unfair to him.
It's unfair to anyone, but it's the world that we live in. It really is. And Sean Payton bears more of the weight of paying for the sins of his fathers, or in this case, the predecessors, than really just about any other coach in the NFL. Now, Sean's a smart guy. He gets this. He knew that there was going to be baggage with this job. To his credit, he is confident enough in his abilities to know, or thinks that he knows, what to do to turn this thing around. And as the three of us sit here today, do we really doubt at some point he will turn this around? Maybe a little more because of the move to rid yourself of Russell Wilson and the delay in gratification. Because even the most hopeful of Broncos fans probably wouldn't look at this year and say, yeah, we got a chance to continue to move the needle forward.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
It's just too hard a situation. So is the pressure off Payton in some shape or fashion? Probably not, because Sean Payton thinks that he can go, that he can get any team together and be competitive. But I do think that there's something interesting when Davis also in the same comment said, fans say, go find a quarterback. Like there are these mythical figures out there ready to be had. It's easy to say, but it's very hard to do. My God, don't we know that now?
We found out the hard way the last 8 years.
It's been 8 years. We are on double digits. The number of quarterbacks that have started in 8 years for the Denver Broncos. Capable quarterbacks. Case Keenum is a capable quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater is a capable quarterback. Russell Wilson is a capable quarterback.
And Flacco just won the comeback player of the year.
Bingo. Year. But it's not worked in Denver for any of those guys. And here we are 8 years later, still with the same problem. Are fans too cavalier about the difficulty of finding the right quarterback for a team? You're damn right they are. It's hard to find the right quarterback. Look around the league and see how many guys, how many teams definitely have their guy. There's a lot of teams that just not maybe aren't in the Broncos situation right now. This is something that they are taking on of their own choosing. They could have lived with Russell Wilson for another year, another 2 years, but they thought that the process of getting this franchise back on its feet was easier to manage without Russell Wilson, even with the 80-some million dollars that they had to pay to get out from underneath them. Now, think of that. I'll tell you one thing, puts a ton of pressure on Sean Payton because he's got the vision And there is a cynic maybe in all of us that say, well, hell, if Sean Payton can't get it done in 2 years, he's gone, and what difference does it make anyway? And we're still dealing with the fallout of this. That's the bad news. That scenario is on the table. This doesn't work out within 2 years. Sean Payton is a memory, and we're still unpacking all of the baggage.
He's just another Joseph or Fangio or Hackett.
Just another
just
guy.
Another guy. Yeah.
Just another guy. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. You can say a lot of things about Sean Payton, but that man is maniacal about sweating the details. He's prideful. He has done it before, and he totally believes that he will do it again. But we'll see. And Broncos fans historically have probably been spoiled a little bit by guys named Elway and Manning. But really, when you look at the majority of Broncos history, how solid has the quarterback position really been? It was automatic with those two guys. But even in the years when you had Kyle Orton and Jake Plummer, think about, they never found Jay Cutler. They never truly found the right fit for what we would consider to be a franchise quarterback. When you look at the Broncos in his historic fashion, there's really only been one franchise quarterback.
Just John Elway.
That's it. You had Peyton for 4 years. And, of course, Peyton Manning, for two of those years, was one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the league. And 1 year had one of the greatest years that any quarterback could have in the league. But he wasn't your franchise quarterback. The Broncos have been around since the 60s. They've had one guy. Now, Frank Trpucka, I don't know how many years he was here, but I think only like five or six. I'm telling you, Elway has been it. One franchise quarterback. One damn great one, but one.
Yeah, just 4 years for Trpucka.
There you go.
And that was the very first 4 years of the franchise.
And he's in the Ring of Fame.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's got his name under Peyton's
absolutely
jersey up there.
So it's remarkable. But you think about that. I mean, you think we're talking about 8 years. But if you go back 60-some years, right? I think that's 60-some years, 50-some years, whatever it is. You have one franchise quarterback that really has been the guy. And it's not to say that you haven't had success. You've had Craig Morton.
And he was kind of like Peyton Manning, came over at the very end, spent the very last portion of his career with the Broncos.
Absolutely. But, I mean, you've got – the point is this, very simply. Terrell Davis is right. Fans go say find a quarterback like there's these mythical figures out there ready to be had. Easy to say, hard to do. And it is the truth. And, my God, if we don't have the example of it now, I mean, I don't know when we'll get it. All right, what do we have coming up on the final word?
We'll discuss a couple Colorado running backs entering the transfer portal, including a former four-star recruit, and also recap last night's playoff action. That's up next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
All right, finishing up the first hour without Eric. We'll be back after some issues he's taking care of this morning, personal issues, and we'll be on the show tomorrow. Alex Brett working with me today. I'm Bruce Hurdle. Good to have you with us. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Colorado running back Dylan Edwards will enter the transfer portal. A class of 2023 four-star recruit, Edwards had 76 carries for 321 yards and a touchdown, as well as 36 receptions for 300 yards and four receiving touchdowns last year. He had that big game in the opener against TCU and then didn't do a whole lot after that. And then also running back Savion Wilkerson, who had 190 rushing yards and three rushing touchdowns last year, entered the portal yesterday as well. What are your thoughts on Edwards hitting the portal in the now thin running back room?
Even more than Cormani McClain, Dylan Edwards, to me, was the face of that recruiting class last season, beyond Shador, Shiloh, Travis Hunter. Okay, those were obviously the headliners. But the first guy that Deion Sanders got to flip from a guy that was committed at the time to Notre Dame and had been previously committed to Kansas State, where his dad had played and was a very successful running back under Bill Snyder. This, to me, was a big one. This was a guy that, in talking with Pat Shurmur as recently as 2 weeks ago, they had high hopes for and plans with a revamping of the running game, which, curiously, they got away from after that TCU game, which made absolutely no sense to me. I mean, okay, they worked it into a short passing game, and sometimes you got to do the best that you can with what you have. So I commend them for that. But it was odd to me that they got away from the running game so completely for really the most of the rest of the season. But Dylan Edwards was a four-star guy out of Derby, Kansas, and is a guy that is going to play very meaningful snaps somewhere in college football. But he was more than anything a guy that kind of represented really what Deion Sanders could do in terms of immediately acquiring talent. Now look, he's got four guys that he's brought in off the transfer portal in the spring season that are purported to be very good players. We'll wait and see on that. But this one has got to hurt. Even Deion Sanders, this one probably hurts. This is a guy that they were counting on. This is a guy that was going to be a part of the offense. This is a guy that was, I'll use his term, was he a starter? Yeah, probably. This guy was a starter. And he's also, what, number 21 on the transfer portal in the spring season?
Oh, yeah.
There's been a pretty fair talent drain that has left Colorado. What that all means, I'll leave it for you to interpret.
All right, just in case you missed it, last night in the NBA playoffs, the Timberwolves took a 2-0 series lead on the Suns. They pulled away with an 11-0 run in the fourth quarter and won 105-93. The Pacers evened their series with the Bucks behind 37 points from Pascal Siakam, and then the Mavericks got 32 points from Luka Doncic. They beat the Clippers 96-93 to tie that series at 1. After losing game 1 by 25 and last night by 12, are the Suns toast in this series?
I don't know if they're toast, but they're kind of gutless, aren't they? I mean, really. This is a good matchup for you. I know you're playing in a tough place, but come on, man. Come on, man.
You got to be – I mean, Towns and Edwards didn't even shoot the ball
right
last night, and they still never got that close.
Never really got in it. And maybe in hour number two we'll get to some of the comments that Charles Barkley made about Devin Booker. which I thought were interesting, a little bit, maybe challenging him. Boy, those guys on TNT do a great job. They say what you're thinking.
Right.
And my God, it's so nice to hear that. But those four guys, because Ernie's the perfect setup guy, but the Jet and Barkley and Shaq, it's not only the best on TV now, I think it's the best on TV ever.
Best show on television
ever,
for me. Yeah.
Ever. In a sports studio setting, that combination is the best that I have ever seen. There you go. In case you missed it, courtesy of our friends from Argonaut Wine and Liquor. When we get into our number two, let's get back to the Avs. 5-2 winners last night. Admit it. How many of you out there had the Avs winning 5-2? How many of you out there had Alexander Georgiev manning up and making the types of plays that he did last night? This host didn't, and I admit it. And I am glad that I was wrong, because they come home all even at 1, and the complexion of this series has changed tremendously as we continue on this Wednesday edition with Goodman and Hurdle.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.